Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and very best friend, Reverend Sheeta Crawford.
Well, ta-da, my dear, and shalom, saints of God. And thanks for tuning in as we continue in Matthew 24. And our last two programs are archived on shofarministries.net. Let us pray.
Baruch Hashem Adonai, bless your name, O Lord, as we honor and praise you in all things, and who brings great goodness into our lives with grace and mercy. Please show extra favor to those who are called by your name, who are ill among us. May they experience joy in their suffering while they anticipate their healing. We lift up our loved ones in need of salvation. May we be a lighted example of the joy within us. We pray for America and ask that you give courage and bestow peace to our honest leaders that do your will. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
A reminder that the 40-day season of Teshuvah begins this Sunday.
It does, and we wrote about it extensively in our newsletter that went out last Friday and is on shofarministries.net. It is the yearly season on the Hebrew calendar to reexamine oneself before the possible resurrection, which comes 30 or 31 days later, which is the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah, meaning head of the year, and the anniversary of the creation of humanity.
As in Adam and Eve.
Right. And this year, Rosh Hashanah is September 25th at sundown until September 27th at sundown.
And we will be talking about all that in a few weeks.
No doubt about it. As far as news goes, well, it sure does appear that everything that's happening confirms we are heading to the new world order.
Yes, soon the digital cashless society.
And in the meantime, they are determined to crash the economy. And they are adding 87,000 armed federal agents. You think they might have a dual purpose?
Very likely.
They continually try to prosecute their political rivals and their supporters, accusing conservatives, that's you and me, of hate crimes for speaking against the mutilation of children with their promotion of sex changes. And now I recently saw an article about how tasty cannibalism is, because, you know, they're going to get rid of our meat and it won't be available except, of course, to the elite.
Yeah, they're going after the organic farmers.
Oh, yeah, I even saw an article about the Amish farmers in PA. It's just awful.
And they're erasing our border.
While flooding our cities with the unknown, many peddling drugs to pay off their handlers. They instigate wars and war threats, and the globalists are determined to destabilize the rest of the world, too. Ah, but Klaus Schwab says, we will own nothing, but we'll be happy.
The Great Reset.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we are fighting a continual proxy war in Ukraine, and we're hearing about rumors of war as China has been building up its military and modernizing their air force.
They're encircling Taiwan,
who they desperately want to control, and I assume they know they should do it while Biden is still president, which is probably why God allowed Biden to become president. For the clock is ticking, and now the end-time scenario, well, it's accelerated.
But isn't that good news?
Well, actually it is. So rejoice and worry not.
Anyhow, China has more ships than we do.
Yeah. And they don't care about the climate, as we see they are building like 30 more coal plants while extending themselves clear across the globe with port facilities almost everywhere, as well as joining forces with Russia, Iran, North Korea to become a superpower bloc. The handwriting is on the wall, and never forget Jeremiah 30:11, because at some point America will be no more. But I do believe we are leaving before the worst of it comes to fruition. And I think we better move on. Oh, but one more tidbit. Dr. Fauci, although he says he's not retiring yet, will be leaving his current positions, all of them, by December.
Oh, for sure, right before the new Congress takes over.
Of course. He knows he's going to be indicted, at least subpoenaed. So he'll probably move to another country.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Well, he did mention, though, he might become a mentor.
Uh-huh. Okay, we welcome your comments. And you can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office. And be sure to leave a detailed message, too, 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are needed and are very much appreciated. And we will include you in our monthly mailings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters, which are all archived for your learning pleasure.
Okay, we are currently studying Matthew 24, which in just one chapter alone contains a plethora of information, a book written with the future then-saved Jews in mind.
Who received salvation during the first half of the tribulation.
Yes. So Jesus in Matthew 24 begins with a short prophecy soon to affect them of the destruction of their magnificent temple, which was fulfilled just a few decades later in 70 AD. Then Jesus gives some other but simultaneous signs to look for in the end days, emphasizing in verse 4 as number 1.
Deception.
And again in verse 5 and again in verse 11 and still again in verse 24 by using the great signs and wonders.
Another word for deception is lying.
That's very true. And who is the father of lies?
John 8:44, the devil.
And we also covered the fact that the 144,000 Israelites will be preaching the gospel of the Messianic kingdom on earth, and will go out to all the nations when the Jews flee south from Jerusalem to escape the Antichrist.
At the midpoint of the tribulation.
Yes, as soon as they witness the Antichrist's abomination in the temple. He will be demanding worship, or else their ability to buy or sell will be cut off. Now, if one agrees to worship the beast, the mark, which most believe is some kind of AI chip, will allow them to continue to purchase.
Some are already getting a chip.
Well, yeah, for various reasons, as in Alzheimer's patients, which I guess would be good, who might wander off, and in many animals, especially dogs. And what they really want, though, is for the masses to be familiarized, and therefore will be more acceptable as it, you know, comes. However, let me remind you, it's not until the tribulation that people will have to worship the beast to keep it actively working for their survival.
So they'll have to bow down to the God of this world.
Yeah, probably three times a day facing the Temple Mount, just like the Jews did before, called the Oblations. And the observant ones probably, still do it today.
Remember, Satan is a counterfeiter.
Big time. And because of this AI chip, it will be able to reveal who is worshiping and who is not.
Wow.
Also, when someone does agree to worship and take the mark, it's all over, because then they can never be redeemed. And that's why some scholars believe it's probably a shot that leaves a tattoo, but contains DNA from the evil seed, thus becoming a hybrid.
As in the days of Noah.
Exactly. And darkness explodes when we, the restraining light, leaves.
2 Thessalonians 2:7.
Anyhow, it will be of the serpent's seed, as God said he had in Genesis 3:15.
That's some scary stuff.
Which is why God won't allow us to be anywhere near this kind of evil. So, newsflash, we must share this and to stir up all Christians to tell the lost what it really will be like.
Still today, most don't understand how devastating those days will be.
Right. And some Christians actually think we will stay here and refuse to believe that God will spare us as the Father spares the Son who serves him.
Malachi 3:17.
Mm-hmm. So last week we confirmed in Revelation 12 that the Jews called the woman would flee Jerusalem and run into the mountainous wilderness to hide from the dragon who tried to engulf them with a flood. But we see that God will open the earth and swallow up the flood, and then the dragon will turn back to make war with the rest of the Jews up north, who also have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So says Revelation 12, verse 17.
Confirmation. They are all saved Jews.
Right. By the middle of the tribulation, due to the war of Ezekiel 38. And there is typology of this 12 flood with the Red Sea crossing when the Israelites also fled their enemy Pharaoh, a type of the Antichrist, back in the book of Exodus. Again, we encourage you to study all that because the same plagues are described both in Exodus and Revelation.
And Moses does return as one of the witnesses.
Yes, and Elijah being the other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the Exodus, God kept them from the plagues and helped them escape on wings of eagles.
And will again in the tribulation.
Which is why, as we said last week, that God would lead them right back to where their ancestors were many centuries before, to the same area of the Sinai on
wings of eagles. Exodus 19:4.
As Revelation 12:14 also says, they will escape on wings of eagles. So, using the same metaphor is a big clue. They're heading back to the same place in the Sinai.
Well, you know, history does repeat itself.
Nothing new under the sun, Solomon said. Different players, but similar circumstances. And, you know, Paul says, what has been written in the past is for our learning.
Romans 15:4.
It's sad to think of how many Christians don't even read the stories of the Old Testament. And we also explained last week why I didn't think it was Jordan's Petra, for the obvious fact that God wants to supply all their needs like he did before. Petra, as I saw with my own eyes, is just too well equipped. But this time the Hebrews will stay true, and like Joshua before, now Yeshua would himself take them into the millennial kingdom. And by the way, Joshua and Yeshua are the same root name, both meaning salvation.
More typology.
I know. It's so great. So we finished last week in Matthew 24, verse 20 and 21, where 21 describes the last half of the tribulation.
For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be.
And read right before that in verse 20.
And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath.
And as I said, I believe their flight would not be in the winter, but would actually be in the spring, and for sure not on Shabbat, but more likely on a Sunday, but for sure on Nisan 10. So, how do we come to that conclusion? First of all, Jesus would not say to pray for something if it was impossible to happen. And second of all, we know Satan is a counterfeiter and often mirrors the things of God in Christ. So God has his chosen who are followers of him.
Well, you know, Satan too has his followers.
He does. And during the tribulation, it will be through the Antichrist. Today, God marks us with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Soon after we are gone, God will replace us with the 144,000, calling them now the first fruits of this last 1,000-year dispensation.
Revelation 14:4.
And he will impart on them the seal of protection during Jacob's trouble.
Revelation 7.
And we read in Revelation 13,
the Antichrist will also mark those who follow him.
Right, as protection from being cut off from society, keeping their freedom to buy and sell. And as God has the Trinity, Satan too counterfeits the Trinity with his false prophet and the Antichrist. You know, there are many more types, but I think you all get the picture. So, we said all that to set the stage of where I'm about to go.
Okay.
There was only one day when Jesus walked this earth that he allowed the people to hail him as king. That was on Palm Sunday in the spring. Actually, that year was 32 A.D. on Nisan 10 on the Jewish calendar.
Why not Nisan 10?
It is Nisan 10. Because that is when God told Moses to pick the lamb 4 days before the Passover on the 14th.
Exodus 12, verse 3.
Now, by researching Hebraic roots, I learned decades ago that the day they picked the Passover lamb was a really big event. And they paraded the lamb they had picked from the Bethlehem area, because this area had the best and unblemished lambs anywhere else in Israel.
Imagine that.
I know, right? And large crowds would march to the streets of Jerusalem and up to the temple. So in Israel, when Jesus was there, he purposely chose that day because it was the yearly picking of the Passover lamb.
Nisan 10, which we call Palm Sunday.
Yes, because they waved the palm branches. So again, Jesus picked this day because he is that unblemished Passover lamb to follow this yearly parade riding on a donkey to the temple. Again, that was the only time they hailed him as King, Son of David, which is the idiom for the Messiah, and this therefore fulfilled Zechariah 9:9.
That their king would ride in on a donkey.
Now, the Jews who did read the prophetic scriptures, and by the way, only a remnant did because most of the men were busy retaining the Torah that they had memorized by the age of 12.
The whole first five books that Moses wrote.
Yeah. Anyhow, those few who did read the prophets knew Zechariah 9:9 very well.
So after that, many did believe in him.
Yeah. So since Satan is a counterfeiter, and this is what I'm trying to get at, it is very likely the Antichrist will choose this day to demand worship and defile the temple. Nisan 10, exactly 3.5 years into the tribulation, which also means that it will begin 3.5 years before, which on the Hebrew calendar is
Yom Kippur, Tishri 10.
Yep. Which also means Jesus will return exactly 7 years later, specifically 1260 days times two. Therefore, also falls on a Yom Kippur.
To fulfill the Day of Atonement.
Right. And will blow the great trumpet as recorded in Matthew 24:31.
That we will likely get into next week.
Yep. And by the way, the great trumpet is the Hebrew idiom for Yom Kippur.
It surely is.
So it fits quite nicely to have the rapture 10 days before the start of the tribulation on the Feast of Trumpets, also called the Last Trump, when Paul actually says it will happen, 1 Corinthians 15:51, which we wouldn't know without studying our first century roots. But we did, and so we know.
What then kicks off the tribulation?
The signing of the covenant of doom as prophesied by Daniel in chapter 9, 27, which will include the dividing of Jerusalem, canceling the sovereignty that belongs to Israel, since God miraculously won it back for them in the Six-Day War of 1967. Yes, on the seventh day, it was theirs. But then they will give it away, East Jerusalem and the Temple Mount.
To make it international for all faiths.
And probably the Pope will be the overseer, at least eventually. Anyhow, that's when the final judgment begins. The good news, Jesus will take it back in the 7,000th year when he comes to rule and reign, and we, his wife, as his queen, will rule and reign in him and with him. Revelation 5:10. Okay. Moving right along, that brings us to Matthew 24:22. So let's read 21 and 22 together for context.
For then there will be great tribulation, such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened.
Well, let me tell you how often I have heard this verse totally misconstrued due to not using the first principle to proper hermeneutics, and that is...
Scripture interprets Scripture.
I have actually heard teachers claim that this proves the tribulation years will be shorter than 7 years. Of course, that interpretation would contradict other scriptures and fall into the hands of the naysayers who insist the Bible is full of contradictions, which of course it is not. Verse 22 is referring to the daylight hours because the sun will be very hot, extremely hot.
Real global warming.
Yeah. So those 24 hours will be mostly in the dark.
And we have scripture to confirm that.
We do in Revelation 8:12.
Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night.
And we have another from the prophet Amos, chapter 8, verse 9.
And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God.
Well, you know that in that day always means after the rapture.
That I will come make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight.
So for the elect's sake, the daylight is shortened. Of course, the elect then is the tribulation saints and the 144,000. You know, Israel was called the elect in the Old Testament, Isaiah 45:4. We are now his elect, and after we are gone, his new righteous ones will be the next elect. So, let me ask you, are you the elect? You can be, but it must be your choice and your choice alone. You must make Yeshua Lord over your life. Luke 21 says you can escape all this coming judgment with just a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner, repent, and invite him into your whole being, body, soul, and spirit. Then let him have dominion over you instead of the God of this world. I don't think a lot of people realize that if Jesus isn't ruling over your life, then the devil is. There's no way of getting around it. You either serve Jesus or you don't. And the devil is the ruler of this world. He's a usurper, but only temporary. And by the way, that's it. There's no in between. And let me talk to you out there that might be lukewarm. Please get your act together now. Get out there and tell people what's going to happen. So if they're not the body of Christ, at least they'll be a tribulation saint. That's just so important right now. That is our calling for our these last days. And be sure to tithe your time in God's word. You're going to need it because we all need discernment. And the Bible strictly says we get discernment by exercising the word of God. So, I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing as we do every week, and that's from Numbers 6, starting in verse 22. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's that perfect shalom that you can only have through Jesus Christ. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper in a lot of different ways, ways that you might not even recognize. And that's Psalm 122, verse 6. You should memorize that. So till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.